This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here is your host, Danielle Albari.
Welcome into Bet the W. I'm your host, Danielle Albari, joined again by the wonderful Calvin Wetzel. Calvin, I finally figured out why your name brings me such joy. Do you know?
Do you know why? No, I didn't even know that was a thing, but tell me.
Your name, whenever I'm like, oh, Calvin Wetzel's coming on, it always sounds so happy. And it's because it reminds me of Wetzel's Pretzels. Do you get that all the time? Do people ask you if you're related?
They do. I'm not. I wish I was. I would be rich. There's not one where I live, pretzels. But anytime I go, anytime I see one when I'm traveling, I always get one. I always get something different, you know, like Wetzel dogs with a little hot dog inside. Mm-hmm. Big fan of those.
You could start a podcast and maybe get them as a sponsor.
I could. You know, next time I'm on this podcast, I need to wear
Wetzel's dogs.
Wetzel's dog. Pick the, with the underdogs. Danielle, you're onto something. You're onto something here. I'll wear my hat.
Sorry
to cut you off. I have to tell you about the hat, though, because I'll wear it on the next podcast. And it's a funny story that has nothing to do with basketball. But we're already getting sidetracked. When I was like 5 years old, my friend went on vacation and they saw Wetzel's Pretzels. And that was before I was like too little to know that that existed. And there was like a guy working there who didn't speak any English. And so my friend's mom was trying to buy his hat from him. And he kept thinking like, you know, what, like trying to give him what different type of food. And finally she communicated that she wanted to buy the hat. And so she brought me back like a literal hat from the worker. And I still have it. It says Wetzel's Pretzels.
So you haven't worked at Wetzel's Pretzels, but you have the hat.
I have the hat. Okay. So I can pretend. And I will wear it on the next podcast.
We need to start a Wetzel dog segment and get them to sponsor it.
Yes, we do. It's a fantastic idea.
It's too perfect. But yes, I always think of it. And I agree with you. You mix it up. You can get the little bites. Mm-hmm. You can dip them in the cheese. If you're listening, I'm doing air quotes. Whatever it is. Whatever's in there. I love it. I don't know what it's made of, but I like it. So it brings me joy because who doesn't love a pretzel? But what I will say to tie it back to basketball is the WNBA, I would love to say, oh, it's a mess. There's a bunch of teams all tied up together. Not the case. These are straight pretzels right now. It's just straight dip and dunk. It's all aces all day.
Nailed 24
and 2.
Nailed
yes. There's no pretzels going on here. It's the aces right now and everybody else. And that's what we expected going into the season. And now we're starting to move even closer and closer to playoffs. And we thought maybe something would shake out here. And that's not been the case. Even losing Candace Parker hasn't seemed to slow them down, which isn't shocking because, again, they did not even have her last year for their championship run. So lots of things to look at here. Friday, 4 games going on. And before we do, we are recording before Thursday's game. And can we just take a moment for Diana Taurasi? A lot of pressure, though. She has to score 19 points. And they put, I don't know if you saw this, but the Mercury put little cards on all the seats. Yes. And they already say congrats. And I'm thinking, what if she doesn't score 19 points? Like, she needs 18 to get to 10,000, 19 to go over it. She's not averaging that. I mean, it's going to be a situation where they'll make sure she gets it, I think. But still, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a little bit bold of them to put that, considering that it's not like she needs 3 or 4 points.
I do think
she will get there. If her line would have been at 17.5, would have hammered the over. But she's got to make some shots. I'm curious that we got some markets at different sports.
We do.
Books
I was going to look.
Did
them
you bet
up.
On
yes.
this at all? Like,
no, I have. I've not yet.
10,000th point or
method. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess just
like the DraftKings put this under Herstory.
Yes. Everyone loves.
It's.
anyway.
How will she score it? 3-point field goal is plus 105 right now. 2-point is plus 180, and free throw is plus 320. Obviously, you're probably listening to this after this has already happened, but it seems like it would be a 3-point, in my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah.
Based on how Diana plays the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's going to be launching from three. I actually, before DraftKings had those, FanDuel had a little bit more specific. They had like layup and other. They had like 2-pointers broken up into layup and other. And I'm interested. I actually put a little bit on layup as well. So I am going to be.
What about first basket?
I actually bet on her first basket too, which I haven't done all year because she hasn't made a first basket all year because most of the time the Mercury go to Brittany Griner.
But no
right?
BG.
Who
Again,
has
we're
been
talking
best...
about a game that's already happened at this point. But...
Exactly. BG's been the best first basket getter, but she's not playing. And she's missed the last 2 games, and Diana Taurasi took the first shot in both of those games as well. I'm pretty sure she's going to take the first shot tonight. So to me, it's really like, are the Dream going to score first or is Diana Taurasi going to score first? Like that. So
the
Dream are going to win the jump ball, but I had to bet on Taurasi to score first. And to get a layup, I'm going to be mad if it's like a weird little 4-foot like floater or something and they call it Ether. you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but it's all of that to say, you can take this away as anytime there's a record to be broken, this is a good time to look at props. And you have to kind of look at them ahead of time, obviously, because these get slammed. I do wonder what her points prop was set at, just as an example. 20.5.
Yeah, it was at 21.5 at one point today, and it got bet down.
Which is high.
It is a little high, because I was thinking, I was talking with some other people about this too. When LeBron broke that record, Kareem's record, he broke the record, and they took him out of the game, and he didn't play again. He needed 36, and he got 38. And we could see that with Taurasi. She needs 18. Mm-hmm. She could get 18, 19, or 20, and then be pulled from the game. So under 20.5, under 21.5, it does feel high.
Yeah. The question is, how many points will she do in the next game? I would almost say, let's talk forward. You can go under on her next game.
Yes.
You can go under on Taurasi's next game. There's some actionable information as opposed to us talking about this game that has already happened. Let's talk about Friday's games. They've not happened yet. The Connecticut Sun at the Indiana Fever. 4 p.m. Pacific for this one, 7 Eastern. The last time they played was May 30th. Completely different landscape at the time. Very opening of the season. The Sun won by 3, and right away, everybody who was a Fever supporter was excited, right? They only lost by 3. They cover as 12-point road dogs just at the start of the season. It went over the 158.5, I believe. 81-78. So excitement for the Fever out of the gate, but very different Sun team now. So what do you think we're going to see in this one?
I think it's a very different both teams, because I think you've seen the Fever drop off a lot, too, without Nelissa Smith. And, you know, post All-Star break, Leah Boston seeing more double teams. And then obviously Connecticut Sun without Bree Jones. So two big posts that played in that game that won't be playing in this game. It's hard to know what to expect. Both of these teams have been, even within games, just really since the All-Star break, I think very up and down. You see the Fever, like, the other day, go 8 minutes without a point and then score like 30 points in the next quarter. The Sun, you know, lose to the Lynx and then they bounce back. I don't know. I have a hard time with this one. I do think total wise is a little bit easier to predict, and I think it'll be similar to that game. I probably would have it in the upper 150s or around 160, but with the spread, I mean, who knows? I think it'll be upper single digits, but I could see this game landing in a lot of different places.
Yeah, the Fever are at home at least. Connecticut coming off of two home games. One of them was a loss to the Lynx, who were playing without their leading scorer and their captain, if he's a Collier. So that was shocking to see. The Sun corrected that in the next one. They beat the Lynx by 10. Now they're on the road. I think they're going to continue. And again, this is a Sun team that is very much locked in and a Fever team that is very much struggling right now. So as far as the spread is concerned, if you get a live opportunity on the Sun, because actually both of these teams now are sort of prone to these scoring droughts. So if you can get in on the Sun at a better number that's not double digits, that would be interesting to me. The Fever, we've been talking about throughout the year, they only have 6 wins, I believe, still. So not ever talking about them winning games straight up, but they were covering for a spree where they were really being undervalued. That's not necessarily the case here anymore. So I don't have a lot of interest in going on the Fever. I do agree with you about the total, though, and I'd love to bet an over, but I can't because of this Indiana situation.
Yeah, the tough thing with the over is what you talk about. Both of these teams, even though the Sun are significantly better, are prone to massive scoring droughts that make you tear your hair out if you're on the over. So what I would do, again, you said live betting opportunities. Like, if you're able to watch the game, if one of these teams, because it almost certainly will happen at some point that one of these two teams is going to go like 5 minutes with like 2 points or something.
Yeah.
And when you see that, kind of ride it out. You got to time it right, obviously. Maybe the next time out, the next, you know, break in between quarters or whatever it is, that's when you hit the live over, because all of a sudden they're going to explode. Going to be a pop bottle, and the next 5 minutes they're going to score 20 points.
Yeah, that's great advice right there. And I always say the best way to get better at anything is to do it. So you get better at betting by doing it, you get better at live betting by finding the rhythms. And I like what you said too, kind of waiting for your moment. What I will say is I try not to wait for breaks or timeouts, because that's where the lines can kind of jump or sharpen up. So trying to kind of get in when there's actual live play going on can sometimes be to your advantage, but I definitely think live is the way to look this one. And I also think that it's part of Calvin's and I's secret plan to just make everybody watch the WNBA, which is if we have to get you in on the betting side. Oh, you have to watch it to bet it. Sorry, you have to live bet it.
Danielle, you're not supposed to give that away. That's a secret. You're right, though.
We're amongst friends. This is the Bet the W circle of trust. The Los Angeles Sparks are not in my circle of trust right now. They are at the Washington Mystics. The Mystics have been playing without Elena Deladon, but some promise in Ariel Atkins and, I mean, everybody, list of people. But a lot of promising news. It says Shakira Austin limited in practice. Elena Deledon returned to practice, but then didn't practice on Thursday. But still, baby steps in the right direction. Ariel Atkins doing some work in practice. Christy Tolliver looking like things are getting a little better for her as well. So moving in the right direction for recovery. But the Mystics, for a beat, for a second, we said, wow, able to score without Elena Deledon. You were getting some value on betting overs for these teams because the totals were still so low. That's gone away. Four unders in their last six. And we've talked about this. They're prone to these scoring spurts, but maybe it's more been a situation of the defense starting to be a little bit more lax, even though I still think the Mystics are one of the top defenses in the league, really. The Sparks, as we know, no Shanae for several weeks. Lexi Brown had to go out again, which is really unfortunate, but really fun to kind of see Zaya Cook lately.
Yeah, she's been fun. I was surprised a couple games ago, I think, when they had her in the starting lineup instead of when Carly Samuelson was healthy. I think it was Carly. But that just speaks to Kurt Miller's trust in her. I will say, to go back to your point about the Mystics overs with all these injuries, which, by the way, the Sparks have had so many injuries too. Like, these are the two easily most injured teams in the league, not even close, all season. And that's the case right now too. But in terms of these Mystics overs, the problem is, so they've been playing a much faster pace without their front court, which makes sense. They've gone smaller. They're running. That's where the over started to come into play. But the problem is that even now when they're playing fast, they're still not making shots. They're still they're playing fast and not scoring anyway, which has led to that sort of overcorrection back to the unders, like you said.
Right.
So I'll be interested to see where this line opens up in terms of the total, because it's so hard to gauge with the Mystics when you have the best defense in the league that's missing some of its best defenders in a team that plays slow and then all of a sudden starts to play fast and then starts to score and then stops scoring. It's been such a roller coaster with Mystics totals this year that I don't know. I have no idea. It's another one like the spread on the first game that it's just at,
it's been a bob and weave for the Mystics overs. You've got to be on them at the right time. And you had to, we had that little train where we were catching, hey, we're getting overs here on low numbers. And then, like you said, sort of adjusted because sort of that Atlanta Dream model of the years past where they play fast, but their field goal percentage isn't very high. That's just unfortunately what it reminds me of. But that said, it's two, when I see two teams, like you said, that are the most injured teams in the league, the first thing that pops into my mind is maybe we're going to get an over because they're so beat up and it's just going to be running back and forth and just shooting and shooting and shooting and not a lot of defense. But like you said, it doesn't necessarily mean that these points are going to go in. So it's tough for me to want to get in on an over pretty much at any number. What do you think this is going to be in? The 158s again? 159 and a half?
I think it would be around similar to the first game. Yeah, either there or lower 160s. I would probably need something extremely off, such as mid 150s, in order to actually bet this over. And same thing on the other side.
Mid 160s. I do think the Mystics can win this game. Is that too bold?
No, I think they can too. I mean, they're home.
Okay.
They have that going for them, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think this spread will be pretty low. I actually don't know who will be favored. I don't know who you think will be favored. The Sparks might be road favorites, but I don't think by very much if they are.
Yeah. If they were at home, I think we're pretty much in almost a toss-up situation, and the home team's going to be the favored one here is what we're looking at. And again, just because both teams missing so many key players, but Washington especially. I'm more impressed, honestly, by Washington's resilience through their injuries than the Sparks. Just based on what I've seen so far. And it looks like, again, the Mystics seem to me to be closer to getting their people back in. Let's go to the Sky at the Wings. I just now I'm thinking as I'm saying that about just the Skylar Diggins-Smith drama going on about Twitter today and how we didn't really address that. But I was thinking about getting their people back. And I have nothing good to say about that. I have nothing nice to say about, like, let her into the facility. That's what I have to say about the Skylar Diggins-Smith. What are we doing? So...
I don't really have nice things to say either.
I have nothing nice to say, so I'm gonna leave it at that.
Does that mean you're not supposed to say anything? That's what you learn in kindergarten.
It means
right?
I'm gonna stick to the games at hand. But that's my opinion. Is what are we doing? Chicago at Dallas. Dallas, by the way, we've talked about this. This has been a topic of discussion for us for a couple weeks now, and I see it popping up on other WNBA podcasts as well. People talking about the Wings. There is buzz about the Wings. Are they a top four team for you right now? Are they a top three team? I'm really wondering, do they beat out the Sun for you right now?
No. But they are top.
I know. I know. I've asked you many times. I know Calvin's not buying into the Wings hype.
Well, okay. Let me clarify, though. I am buying into the Wings hype in terms of – I think they're a top four team right now. And so in terms of they're covering a lot, I bet them yesterday, 2 dates ago when you're listening to this, and they covered. I'm very into riding the Wings on these spreads, single game. I'm high on them. What I'm not high on is them actually being a championship contender or being a team that's going to make the finals, like what they're getting talked about as right now, or a top three team. Right now, I think they're fourth. When the Mystics are healthy, I would put the Wings at fifth. But with the current Mystics team, they are the Wings are pretty significantly better than who the Mystics have on the court right now. I still think I would take the Sun over the Wings on a neutral court, but I will probably be betting on the Wings in this game, especially if we get anything in the single digits. I will take it, absolutely.
On the Wings. So you're behind them game to game. We're just not talking futures.
Yes, I just don't think, especially because, like you said, Mystics are going to get their players back pretty soon, and by the time you get to, I wouldn't buy in on Wings futures, because Mystics are going to enter the playoffs as a 6, 7, or 8 seed, hopefully healthy. They're going to be a nightmare for one of those upper seeds. And then you still have two super teams, if they can score, right? I mean, the Liberty have had some letdown spots, but I just don't think the Wings are going to get it done in a 5-game series twice in a row against super teams. But game to game, fantastic.
We always talk about it. High ceiling, very volatile team, but so much fun to watch and so much potential there, and just one piece not completely locked in. So I agree. I think that when the Mystics are fully healthy, I have to put them a notch above the Wings, because I value defense a little bit more than offense, especially as we get into the playoffs here. And I just think that that's an area that the Mystics are stronger in when fully healthy. That said, Latricia Tramiel, by the way, Winsider. Did I pronounce her last name right? Tramiel?
Is Tramiel, it Tramiel? I think. Tramiel.
It's Tramiel. Well, the way I said Tramiel. It sounded French. It sounded better. Trissa Tramiel, Winsider made her the coach of the month, and how can you blame them, right? The Wings, 7-3 in the month, third in scoring, most rebounds per game. People forget about that. This is the best rebounding team, I think, in the league, and second highest net rating. So understandable why the Wings are on the upswing. Against the Sky, yes, I want the Wings in this spot, even though they are the team that makes me nervous all the time with these backdoor situations.
Yeah, it might be another one where you're looking at a first half spread, especially if you get double digits on the full game, because we've seen that across the league with these heavy favorites covering in the first half. And I'd be very willing to take Wings in the first half. They've done it as well. They covered pretty heavily in the first half last night. They are the best rebounding team in the league, but specifically, I think they're one of the best offensive rebounding teams ever. That we've probably ever seen. And I don't think they actually are going to set any records in terms of offensive rebounds per game or offensive rebound rate, but that's because the general shift of basketball as a sport has gone away from offensive rebounding, because when you crash the glass, you're leaving yourself vulnerable in transition defense. And compared to 20 years ago, transition is such a big part of basketball. The teams are getting back in transition. But when you look
especially at Wings offensive rebounding,
like look at the Aces, look at the Liberty, how much they run. And how much you have to get back to stop them. When you look at the Wings offensive rebounding compared to sort of the league average, and then you look at some of those older teams from 20 years ago who are good at offensive rebounding, I think the Wings have a case as being the best offensive rebounding team ever. Tierra McCown has a case as being the best offensive rebounder individually ever in this league. And that's how they win games. They're zigging in a climate of transition defense in basketball. And I like it. Or zagging. Whatever. What's the word?
Whichever way. They're going the other way.
They're going the other way. You know what I'm trying to say.
When you zig, they zag. But it's a great point, because it has gone away from that. And as we just said, those top teams that are going to be in these championship spots are teams that are going to be really good in transition, we've seen so far. And to your point about the Mystics being ranked higher than them, that is what they do the best. I think they have the best transition defense in the league. So that's where they've decided to focus their efforts, and I think it's been positive for them. But then you look at a team like the Sun that are probably the third best team in the league, and they are not necessarily that top transition team. They've definitely picked things up this year. Let's talk about the Liberty since we're there now. The Liberty are at the Minnesota Lynx. Little revenge going on, maybe, because the Lynx won last time, but important asterisks here. Liberty were on a back-to-back, I believe.
They were.
And if not, they definitely didn't have Courtney Vandersloot.
Courtney Vandersloot did not play because of that. She rested. So this game will be different.
And a mess. Courtney Vandersloot, too important to this team.
Yeah.
For this, it, like, affects the spread. We haven't talked about a lot of players this year that affect the spread. We even said Diamond Taurasi maybe doesn't affect it as much as we think. Courtney Vandersloot for this Liberty team absolutely affects the spread for them. She's so important for facilitating this offense.
No question. No question. And to be fair, like, to give the Lynx credit, they also didn't have Nafisa Collier in that game. So, like,
yeah,
the Liberty
people
still very much should have won this game, even without Salute, even on a back-to-back. They still had significantly more talent without the Lynx having Nafisa. But that being said, this game is going to be different because we're still not going to have Nafisa, but Salute
is back. Do we have
an
update? I was just thinking, do we know anything about Fee's ankle, right? Ankle injury?
It's an ankle, I mean, the last I heard was, I want to say 7 to 10 days from when it happened, which we should be coming up on that, but I don't think
she's
playing in
this
game.
They have her as doubtful.
Doubtful. Okay. I hadn't seen the updated injury report yet. That's better than out.
This was 2 minutes ago, so.
It's better than out.
Yeah.
Wow, look at Danielle, live breaking news.
We're on it.
Pod, except
not live for them,
so
live for us.
Never mind.
Yeah.
But
I think I've turned into a, I was going to say closet, but not closet at all, fully out Lynx fan, because basically my entire fantasy team has turned into Lynx players. I have four Lynx players on my roster now. I have Diamond Miller. I don't have Nafisa Collier, actually. That's funny enough. But I have Dorca. I have Diamond. I have Lindsay. So I have, like, so many Lynx players now that it's funny how that works. That's why people should play fantasy for the sports that they want to get invested in, because it will give you something to cheer for. And now I'm like, yes, the Lynx are crushing it. That's great for me on all fronts, plus betting, because they've been underrated. They've been underrated, especially without a leading scorer in the mix.
Yeah, well, so you should just watch every Lynx game, because anytime the Lynx do anything well, your fantasy team is going to... You need to change your team's name. What's your team name again? Are you the
it
Stew?
It had to be Stew.
Stewie, what? That's
it
you.
Had to be Stew.
Had to be Stew.
It's a Frank Sinatra,
yeah.
New York.
You're right. You're right. You can't change it. It's good. You don't need to change it to the Lynx, but you could. Anyway.
I told Dano, by the way. Dano has Kelsey Plum, who, unfortunately, not the best fantasy pick this year, but he picked second, I believe. Second or third, got Kelsey. I think his team's still called Kelsey's Plums. And I told him that his team name should be Plum Dog Millionaire.
What is he doing? It should. And anyways, he is still winless, I believe. So he needs to change something up to jumpstart his team. So
yeah, he's not worried about it.
That's a great point.
I am worried about the Lynx in this matchup, though. They are at home, and the Liberty are not going to sit quietly about what happened for them last time.
No, I could see a little bit of a, you know, we see the Liberty off of a loss every game this year, just completely dominating the first half. They're not actually coming off of a loss.
Yes.
Overall, but they are coming off of a recent loss a few games ago to this exact team. So we could see the same sort of mindset coming out, just wanting to jump all over them really early. I would not mind at all another New York first half spread bet. You know, I'm into those. And the one thing, though, I will say...
Has that trend continued, by the way? I know you brought up Aces and Liberty as good examples for first half bets. It's been very successful when you brought it up. Is it continued since we talked?
It had a little blip right after we talked. The Aces got hooked on one, and then the Liberty dropped one as well. But it's picked back up. It's picked back up.
Okay.
So I'm still riding it, and especially if we see double digits, because, you know, on the full game, those ones are hard to take because you get backdoored a lot. Saw that happen in Liberty the other day. By the hook, 8.5. Live bet the other team. Liberty first half, Lynx live bet could be in play here. I will say, I don't know if this is a thing or not. This could just be a narrative thing, but something to keep in mind. New York plays the Aces in their next game, and then they have the Commissioner's Cup coming up against the Aces, and then they have another Aces game coming up, and then they have another one coming up a few games after that. So they play the Aces 2 days after this, and then they play them their next two games, three out of their next five games. So if you buy into the look ahead thing that some people talk about in sports, this is like the ultimate look ahead spot, because
lots
they have
to look ahead
like
to.
All they're playing is the Aces for like the next 2 weeks, a lot of times. So
yeah,
I don't know if that's really a thing or not. I think they can lock into this game and then focus, but you know, it's something to kind of keep in mind at least.
Yeah. As far as a total, the last time these teams played was, again, recently, July 28th. Total was 167. It did go over Minnesota, as we said, 1-5, 88-83. Again, New York, no Courtney Vandersloot, which definitely hampered their offense, and they still scored 83 points. So I don't know if I'll be able to look at the Liberty pregame on the spread. Just they're on the road. It's going to be a large number, I assume. But the Lynx, I feel like we'll continue to be able to score. So I could look to an over here if we get something like one, like this 167, like it was last time, or even like it's probably going to be higher because we have people back in the mix, but 169.5, 171.5 even.
Yeah. I think I would definitely take this anything in the 160s for sure. I think we're getting into the 170s.
Where it starts to get dicey.
Yeah, I would probably still take 170, 170.5. Start to get dicey there, but yeah, like you said, the last matchup went over as well without Courtney Vandersloot, who helps the offense a lot more than she helps the defense. So putting her back in should only just sort of move the needle upwards in terms of the total. And I think both teams, let's see, New York last played a few days ago, right? So they have been traveling, but I believe they'll be a little bit rested. When was their last game?
New York last played on Tuesday at the Sparks. They played the Sparks
Friday.
Twice.
So yeah. They do have, yeah, so they only traveled once because they played in LA twice in a row. And then they had two off days after, which for the first time in like since before the All-Star break, they had two straight off days. They had either one off day or even a back-to-back that we talked about for like over a week straight. So hopefully they're rested. I would definitely look at a first half over in this one as well. Liberty have been excellent on those in addition to the spreads when they just jump all over you and score 50 in the first quarter sometimes. So I would be very interested in that as well.
Yeah, man, the Liberty. I mean, excuse me, the Lynx, they've covered four straight. Got to give them credit for this.
Yeah.
It's been big spreads, though. We'll say the last three games they've been in getting double digits, 13.5, 12.5, 11.5. You notice a pattern here. It's going down. So
it is. And they won two of those outright. It's not like they barely covered.
Straight up. That was the thing, is they beat the New York Liberty straight up in where they were getting 13.5. They beat the Sun at Connecticut straight up getting 12.5 points. So these were really interesting wins. These were not just like, oh, they covered 12.5 points. They won straight up against, as we just said, the Sun probably the third best team in the league, the Liberty probably the second. These are not throwaway wins. These are something that should be paid attention to. So that said, the Liberty are still the second best team in the league. They do remember they lost the last one. They have Courtney Vandersloot back. So that's why I can't look to the spread on this one necessarily. But again, if we, like you were talking about, if we get a big number on the Lynx going into the second half, ooh, I'm all over it. I'm into that.
Yeah, me too. If we're getting upper teens, or oftentimes I think Sparks against New York the other day got up to like 25.5.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, especially if you're starting to get late into the third quarter as well. Because like you said, sometimes maybe it's better to hit it not during a break. The one tough thing about hitting it during play is that the line keeps moving and you try to place your bet.
It's
and
hard.
Then, you know, it moves 5 seconds later. You try to place it again. It moves 5 seconds. So that's why sometimes I look at
that.
Doing it during a break. But if you can just sit there and just keep doing it, just keep hitting the button. For our listeners, I'm hitting a button right now.
That is, please watch the video form on YouTube for full instructions on how to hit live
betting. In case you don't know.
It's very important. Yes, we're giving all the basics. But again, just part of our master plan to make sure everybody's watching these games live. Even though it's difficult, they cram these together. Two of these are at 4 p.m. Pacific. Two of them are at 5.
You need a multi-screen.
You need a multi-screen action. Yeah. Or just follow your team. Cheer for the Lynx right now. Cheer for me. All right, so... I could go for an over on that one. I could go for a live bet on a lot of these. What's your win of the week, Calvin? That's the last thing we have to do.
Yeah. So, I was going to save this for a few weeks from now. I am ready. I'm usually not ready. I'm ready this week. I decided to just go for it this week, even though I was going to save this one for a few weeks from now. So I've been living in this condo that you see behind me, the wall.
Beautiful.
And I've been renting it for like 5 years now from a lady that I know. She's ready to sell. So I'm moving forward with buying it. And I was going to wait till I closed to make that my win of the week, even though that's more of like a win of the year. But this past week, we checked all the other boxes before closing, the inspection, getting the contract written up, all of that, all of the details that you have to do, you know?
Oh, and look at that. That's so the parlay right there.
That's the parlay. Yeah, the home buying part. Well, now we just have to close. When we close, we complete the home buying parlay. So, but since we did everything else this week, it's feeling very real. It's like official that it's going to happen. And so... that's my win of the week. We're almost there. I'll probably, when I close that, I'll make that my win of the week again, because why not? But I'm feeling good about it.
Good people win. Great people close. That's what we like to see. Great people cover. They close. That's a great win of the week. I don't even have a good, I'm not ready for the first time. I'm not, it's like, I'm not even ready for my win of the week after that. I think we should just like bow back and let Calvin have that one. I don't have one prepared. I'm going to another wedding next week. I'm excited about that. I like celebrating love. I'm excited. It's for a coworker too, so it should be a lot of fun. And it's in Las Vegas. My first Vegas wedding. So we have that coming up. Oh, and
That'll be your win next week. Vegas weddings. Always
love wins.
Fun.
Love wins. Yeah, that'll be my win. I'll be more prepared for our next one. We'll be back next week, of course. We have a 5-game slate next Tuesday, so very excited for that. Thank you for joining us today, as always, on Bet the W. We appreciate it from Calvin and I, and we'll be back here next week.